Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, beginning with verse 18, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. While he was saying these things, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." And at once the woman was made well. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all the land. I have written out on the marquee the first phrase of a song that we will sing here in a little bit, "Asleep in Jesus." "Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep." Do you sleep like a baby anymore? Remember how that comforting it was to take that little infant in your arms, and when they were quiet and when they were asleep, it was almost like they just drew all the troubles out of you, didn't they, as they laid there in your arms. And as you'd put them to bed and you could hear them sometimes quite noisily sleeping, maybe they had a little bit of congestion, but maybe they were just deep breathers. But it was a consolation to hear that little one sleeping. And to sleep like a baby means to sleep soundly and perhaps long hours, probably never have slept as long hours again since that time when we were infants. So what is your average sleep pattern? I asked that this morning of some in my class before we got started, and there were several that were in the 7 to 8 hours. Do you get 7 to 8 hours if it's a normal night? Do you get 7 to 8 hours? 9? Do you really sleep like a baby and get 12? Or are you like the rest of us? 6.5 hours is a good night's sleep. Some said probably just 4 hours of sleep. What's sleep all about? Well, it's recuperative, isn't it? It's renewal. It's batteries being charged. Where would we be without it? Now, I know that there are insomniacs. There are those who don't have what I think is the blessing of being able to sleep. What's that like? How many hours or how many days can you go without a good night's rest before it begins to tell on you? Have you ever stayed up? I stayed up all night that I can remember one time. It was before a test in college. And I thought, I'm not going to waste my night. I am going to study the night through, and I'm going to ace this Greek test when I have it the next day. Guess what? Here I am taking my Greek test and doing this. And my ink pen, it would be at one point on the paper, and when I rose back up, there was a line across the paper going down. And I thought to myself, "Self, that was a stupid thing to do." You cannot last even one night. Now, if the adrenaline was flowing, but can you get adrenaline flowing for a Greek test? If the adrenaline was flowing, maybe I could have stayed awake. But I learned something about myself that I'd never tested before, and that is, if I don't get sleep, I am worthless. You say, you're worthless with sleep. Asleep, though, can be a good thing. I hesitated to call that my lesson, "Asleep in Jesus," because some of you might practice it today, you know, in the pew. But We know that sleep is necessary. It's one of those things that God, I believe, has blessed us with. And even the Savior, as we've been reading, went to sleep. Uniquely, he went to sleep in the boat as it traveled from one part of the sea to the other. That says something, I think, about his frame of mind, to be able to sleep like that. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Jesus was human, though he was divine. And so sleep was a part of his pattern as well. But what we want to look at in our reading for today is this concept of Jesus whenever he enters the room of this dead little girl. And in Luke's account, it says that she was about 12 years old. This little girl that is dead, Jesus walks in and there's quite a tumult going on. The mourning process has already started. There were flute players and there was much noise. Maybe they did funerals like the Irish do, kind of like a wake. But Jesus walks in and basically stops the party. And he says, "Get on out of here. She's not dead. She's asleep." And what did they do in response? I mean, the blood level's already up. They're already having a good time or something. Or maybe they're just nervous. But it says that they laughed at him when Jesus said, "She is not dead, but she is asleep." What's your view now of death? What's the world's view of death? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That really is where the world is in viewing death as something to be feared. The shadow of death is the unknown. It's the departure of life, the separation from all the comforts and the things that you experience here. And it's one of those things that for many is an unapproachable subject. Is it because of fear? Fear of what? Is it just the unknown or is it of evil? Perhaps not passing through that gate, that valley, that shadow of death alone, but in the accompaniment of an opposing spirit. Even if you don't accept heaven and hell, is there the chance that you still wonder what's going to happen to me? You don't have to look very far in the non-religious and somewhat mystic realm to see that death is a topic that the world deals with in a frightful way. Specters and ghosts of people being possessed almost with demons because of having dealt with the realm of the dead. Is that how you feel about it? Are you afraid to talk about the subject? I believe in Jesus' statement, he is directly confronting that idea when he says, "She is not dead, but is asleep." Because the other flip of that coin that is also wrong is that dead like Rover, dead all over. There is nothing after death. And some assuage their fears with this idea that I don't have to fear death because death is nothing but the cessation of existence. Totally the cessation of me. The Sadducees believe that way. In Acts chapter 13, it says that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. In other words, dead like Rover, dead all over. And so when they had their way in influencing the minds of others, they said there is nothing except the cessation of life being performed here or being done. You don't have to worry about anything else. Now, I just want to pose a question for you because this always bothers me. The Sadducees were religious leaders. How do you perform your duties as a religious leader if you don't believe in spirits when God is a spirit? How do you do that? That's called being a political animal, and that's what the Sadducees were. They really didn't care about religion. What they cared about was power. But let's say there's some people there that have that view, and Jesus walks in and he says to them, "She is not dead, but she is asleep." And that's an affront to them. And so they laugh at him in derision, almost as if he's an ignoramus, as if he is someone who is a religious fanatic. He just doesn't know any better. But still, Jesus pushes them all out of the room. Because what do we know about death? It's not something to be feared, whether it be from ignorance or from evil. Death is not something to be set aside as the ceasing of the existence of a soul. What do we know? Well, we do believe in the soul, don't we? We believe in that quality or that quantity within each of us that is eternal. That which God Himself places within the living being of every human, that which is eternal, the soul. We don't cease to exist, do we? In the other accounts, Matthew makes it appear as if the girl is already dead by the time that her father comes to Jesus, and that what her father is actually requesting, according to Matthew's account, is a resurrection from the dead. I know that if you come, though my daughter is dead, I know that if you come, she will be well. She will live. Now, just looking at Matthew's account, that requires a great faith, doesn't it? Because you're asking him to do something extraordinary. Not simply heal the leper or cause the blind to see, but to literally raise the dead. Jairus, as he's described, is a believer, isn't he? Though he is the leader of the synagogue, he does have faith in the power of this man, Jesus. Is he ready to accept him as the Messiah, as the Son of God? Possibly. But he certainly says to Jesus, if you will come, you will make things right. In other accounts of these same incidents, it's during the time that Jesus is on his way to the house of Jairus that someone comes and says, she has passed. She's gone. She's dead. And Jesus still continues to the house. Does it matter? Whether she starts out dead or ends up dead in the process of getting to the house, Jesus is going regardless, isn't he? He's going to reward this man's faith, and he's going to make a statement to the crowds. Death is not the end of all things. And so he walks into that room. He pushes everyone else out of the room except for those favored disciples, soon to be apostles, which happened to also be at the Mount of Transfiguration and in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're the ones that get to witness this raising of this little almost 12-year-old girl from the dead. But he simply says to her, arise. Stand up. My mom didn't get me out of bed that easily a single time. She said, Stanton, this is the first thing I remember each morning. Stanton, this is my third call. I'm going to talk about last calls this afternoon in the call of Matthew. Last calls, final notice. She'd say, Stanton, this is my third call. Would you please get out of that bed? I used to sleep literally like a baby and did so through my adolescent years, I guess. I heard not a word until I was forced. Maybe that's why I went to sleep during Greek tests. Jesus says, leave the room. She's not dead. She is but asleep. And he makes a clear statement. When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, suffer the little ones to come unto me, and except you become like children, you will not be in the kingdom. Jesus put a blanket blessing on all little ones. We're not born into sin, are we? Every child that dies is in the arms of Jesus. Every child that dies is in the arms of Jesus. When Jesus said of this girl, she is not dead, but she is asleep, he was making a statement not simply in anticipation of resurrecting her from the dead, but a clear and precise statement of her soul's condition. Her life may be gone from her body. Her soul still exists in relationship with her heavenly Father. Because we know what Jesus revealed as he tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man who lived a life of sin was in torment as soon as he died. It was poor man Lazarus that was asleep in Abraham's bosom. And so when he says she is not dead, he may have simply meant she has not ceased to exist. She is now resting. In John chapter 11, he said the same thing of Lazarus. He is but asleep. And yet Lazarus had already been buried. 3 days prior, Lazarus had died. They had mummified him and put him in the grave. They knew better, but Jesus knew best. Lazarus is but asleep. But do you remember what Jesus did? He wept because he knew what he was exposing Lazarus to. Though Lazarus had slept, meaning he was in a righteous state, what was Jesus exposing him to by bringing him back from the dead? To the tempter, to the devil, to the possibility that he could make the wrong choice in the future, though at this time he is asleep, meaning he is in the arms of God or the arms of Abraham or however you want to put it. He's in a state of rest, blissful sleep. He wept because he knew he was bringing Lazarus back into temptation, back into the realm of the living. We don't see that here with this little girl, Jesus weeping or showing any remorse about bringing her back to life, but it was a simple stand up and touching her, and she did so. How do you view death? Are you ignorant? Are you fearful? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe in judgment? Will they say of you and I when we rest in our coffins, she is not dead, but asleep? It will be as much a statement of fact as it was for Jesus if we die in Jesus. Let's look at a couple of passages that use this phraseology. Really, there's just one that specifically says asleep in Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul is having to deal with those who believe that Christ has already returned and they missed it. Or the ones who have fallen asleep, in other words, the ones who are already dead, will miss it in the future. And because they have already died, they will not be able to partake of Christ's return. What would that be like if you thought you had to live until Christ returned in order to have heaven? Boy, we'd be hanging on to life. We don't do that now, right? We don't try to hang on to life. What if it was required to be living when the trumpet sounds in order to go to heaven? Well, listen to these words. This is from verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren. Remember, one of our reasons to fear death is ignorance. About those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. There it is. Asleep in Jesus. Let's read that verse again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe in the resurrection of Christ? Even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, in other words, get to hear that trumpet, we're still walking the earth, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Can you see it? I can. Oh, I can visualize it. I'm walking around. I'm near a cemetery, possibly, or maybe I don't know I'm near where somebody has been buried, and the trumpet sounds, and all of a sudden I witness the saints in the Lord rising up from the grave. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we'll all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, that which is mortal will put on immortality. Whatever form they have will also be mine. At that moment, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, whatever form that is that God gives us, but we will witness, those of us who are alive at the sound of the trumpet, the dead in Christ rising up to meet the Lord in the air. There he is on the cloud. The angels surround him, and the spirits of the saints rise up, as well as of the patriarchs in the time of the Old Testament. Rise up together to meet Christ in the air. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them. Do you think your mouth is open? I think mine will be if I'm one of those still standing on earth when he returns. Won't that be a glorious time? You say, yeah, and I don't have to experience death. I've worried about it for nothing. Well, that's true if you happen to be there at that very moment. What's Paul trying to say to those who have lost loved ones in the church in Thessalonica? Don't worry. Don't worry. You're not even going to go ahead of your loved ones. The ones who have gone on to the grave will get first in line. You're going to have to step behind them. Do you always want to be first in line? Then die soon. That's not what he's saying, though, is it? The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wow! For the faithful, even at Christ's death, the tombs of the saints, the ones who were asleep, raised to walk into Jerusalem. The patriarch David, in one of Paul's sermons in Acts chapter 13, is talked about as having gone to sleep. So the implication is that all of those who are righteous, all of those who have obeyed God throughout the ages, are simply in a state of rest. You say, but that's not asleep in Jesus. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Asleep in Jesus is for all souls of the righteous. You remember when the witch of Endor, at the bidding of King Saul, brought back Samuel so that Saul might know how the war would go? Was Samuel a righteous man? He was. One of the final righteous judges. What were Samuel's first words? Why have you disturbed me? What was Samuel doing? Watching Johnny Carson? Eating a big meal? Samuel was sleeping. He had been disturbed from his rest when that witch of Endor conjured him up from the dead. He did speak the words of God because Saul needed to hear them. But there we have an example, even in the Old Testament, confirmed in the New, that David was asleep, or is sleeping now, saying that all those who are righteous and die, they are not dead, meaning they haven't ceased to exist. They are but at rest, asleep in Jesus. Let's turn to hymn number 290. 290.
Sleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep. A calm and undisturbed repose, unbroken by the last of foes. Asleep in Jesus, oh how sweet to be for such.
Wrote what he did by inspiration of the Holy Spirit there in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, to bring comfort. That's what the conclusion of that passage was about. But he also said that you will not grieve as those who have no hope. Why is it that the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive in Christ are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air? Because He is the first fruits of the resurrection. And as we witness those who have died in Christ go before us, guess who gets to witness us going? Those who are not in Christ. And so the Scriptures reveal that that same trumpet blast which brings us such excitement and anticipation will cause those outside of Christ to seek caves and bid landslides to come down upon them, because they know that they are not of the Lord and in the Lord, therefore have no hope for all eternity. Is it right to fear death when you're ignorant, when you're evil, when you're outside of Christ? Yes. The world has it right outside of Christ. They do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because hope is not theirs. But for us, in the Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Because we're under His care and His protection, there we will not be accosted on that lonely road to eternity by Satan claiming us as his own. No. The rich man was. Just send someone down here with their fingertip dipped in the water to cool my tongue. Send someone back from here to my brothers so that they might be warned that this is not a place that they wish to go. And the answer was simple. They have Moses and the prophets. If they will not listen to them, they would not listen though one rose up from the grave. The truth is here. One did rise from the grave. Victorious, Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, victorious over Satan, meaning sin, was dealt with. The sting of death, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, is sin. Because sin has been dealt with, because Christ's blood has atoned for my sins by my faith in Him and being baptized into that blood, the watery grave has raised me to walk not simply anew in this life, but with hope for the next. Asleep in Jesus. Blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep. We will wake in the last day, rejoicing, if we but sleep in Him. What's God's desire? That not any should perish, but that all should be saved. He's made access available through His Son. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?